Open your Bibles, Matthew chapter 13. I do tell you, I am encouraged. If you're discouraged, we are going to giddy up and go once we hit Matthew chapter 14, but we're going to be in Matthew 13 just for a few weeks more. We have some more parables to go. Of the seven kingdom parables in Matthew chapter 13. Sometimes I'm going to say Matthew chapter 7. Did I say turn to Matthew 7? Okay, there's seven parables in Matthew 13, but you're going to hear me today. I'll probably say Matthew 7 sometimes, but I'm so focused on the seven parables. But remember, we talked about the seed and the sower, the four kinds of soil, three were bad, one was good. And so is it four kinds of soil or three kinds of soil? Four, thank you. Yeah, there's the wayside soil. All of a sudden, I begin to doubt everything. So it's the seed and the sower, and then we talked the parable of the tares. How God plants believers, but the devil's planting unbelievers to mess up the work of God. Now we're in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. And so let's read there. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 says this: another parable put he forth unto them, saying. Now let me just pause there just to remind you. A parable. It's an illustration, a story coming alongside already existing truth. Do not use parables, and do not allow somebody else to use a parable to establish new truth. Parables are illustrations to come alongside clearly revealed truth in God's Word. So, you know, it's going to be difficult. The next five parables in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus or God did not give us the explanation. I'm sure he explained these to the apostles, but God didn't put it in his Word. So there are varying interpretations of these parables in Matthew 13. But make sure of this. We should never make a conclusion of the parable that would be something new or something contrary to clearly revealed truth in God's Word. So let's stick with that. Matthew 13, verse 31. Another parable put he, Jesus, forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them: the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, or yeast. So what makes bread rise? The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them. At this time, not a parable. It's not like his entire ministry. But at this time of ministry, the Bible says, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Verse 35, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Title of the message this morning, Kingdom Work. It's sort of what is life about as a Christian. So, you know, I told you this before, early on we did this, that the kingdom of heaven is only used in Matthew. It's used 32 times, but it's synonymous with the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is used 68 times in the other three Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and John. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God are synonymous. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven, he likes it. Now, remember we talked about this, the kingdom of heaven, really the kingdom of God is this, all that he rules over, that's everything. So let's be clear, it's everything is God's kingdom. So God rules over everything. There's not one thing that he doesn't rule over. It's also, more specifically, it's as a believer, God sits on the throne of your heart. And it's really, it is, there's going to be a new song. I'm just going to announce it. We're going to do that song. What's the words again? I forget. Bow the knee. Oh, we're going to sing this song. It's an older song, but it's so good. We're going to add it to the repertoire, okay? Now, I make announcements sometimes, and if we don't, it's just because I'm not a musician either, right? So when I announced that we were going to eat at 4, bad idea. I'm pretty sure we're aligned. We're aligned, bow the knee. Oh, I mean, we were singing it last night, bow the knee. I'm just telling you, it's bow the knee. But I, when we were singing that song last night, just as Deb was playing the piano in what I'll call our computer room, it was, God just touched my heart. And just with this message, it is, I must bow the knee daily. Understand this. It is, will I bow the knee? You know, I have believed, I have submitted, I am a follower of Christ, and that was a new birth. You must be born again. Not again and again and again. And so when I turn from my sin by the grace of God and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He saved me. But I want to tell you this, I must bow the knee daily. I want to tell you what the difference is between giving into sin and then submitting to Christ. It's bowing the knee. Will I bow the knee? So when we were singing that song last night, I was just like, again, the simplicity of the Scriptures. I will either walk in the flesh or I'll walk in the Spirit, and it comes down to bow the knee. Kingdom work. I want to ask you, it's kingdom work. This parable, so the kingdom of God is all that, kingdom of heaven is all that He rules over. It is specifically the heart of believers. And then there's going to be some very specific things. When Jesus returns, we'll talk about that a little bit tonight in 2 Thessalonians. When Jesus returns and destroys all evil, He will reign here on earth for 1,000 years. And it's talking about that kingdom as well. But the kingdom that is beyond that, with a new heaven and a new earth, and He will rule over all. And so Christ rules over all. When He says the kingdom of heaven, He says is like. And again, that's a comparison. It's a similarity. He's trying to give some similarities, and He's given some insight into the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's several ways that different people have interpreted this, because Jesus, I do prefer when Jesus says, let me give you the interpretation of the parable. I am awesome when He gives us the interpretation of the parable. And so, because I He gives it to me straight, but He doesn't for these next five. So what you could do is, there are people that, and not that they're in error, but we'll say that these two parables, the mustard seed and the leaven, are warning about issues in the kingdom. And I'll be honest with you, I do take the view that both these parables are talking about something good. Okay? Don't get too upset about that. But I will tell you this. For me to conclude that leaven is speaking about something positive, it's the only example I know of where leaven would be spoken of well in the Scriptures. So I do struggle with that a little bit. I struggle with saying that leaven was spoken of well here, but I'll show you why I think that. Couple reasons why I think that. First, look at verse 35. Why did He speak in parables? He said that it might be fulfilled, verse 35, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, if you allow the big picture, what are these two parables about? The little mustard seed that grows into a large tree. Now, typical mustard seeds will be a bush. But mustard seeds can grow to be 10, as much as 15 feet tall trees. So it's not unheard of, not unusual. But the typical mustard seed ends up in a bush, but don't let that bother you. But it's something small that grows into something great. And then the leaven, or the yeast, how many of our kids have ever seen people make bread? Raise your hands. Anybody make bread? You make bread? Okay. Well, that's cool. You know what I love? I love this, that even Phil raised his hand. He's feeling like one of the kids. That's awesome. It is. So how many of you have seen people make bread? Then I will just allow everybody to participate. Oh, that's good. To join Phil. I don't know if I've ever seen people make bread. I would love just to put the yeast on it and watch. I'm imagining this. I know it takes overnight or something. You have to put it in a fridge or something like that, right? What's that? You got something warm. Okay, you can just show, you know. I know nothing about cooking, right? So you pray that you can live on McChickens if God takes my wife. But it's so yeast, it's so, it's, I mean, I've seen the yeast packets, right? Because I, my wife sent me one time to get yeast at the store, right? And that's like a, you know, a Easter egg hunt. Where in the world is the yeast? Who knows? It's like some little packet, you know, it's just always like, anyway, but I found the yeast and I was like, so small a packet. And you just kind of, just sprinkle a little bit on top of the dough and boom, it takes something small and makes something great of it. That's the big picture of this parable. Now, I'm convinced that what the Bible says is Jesus spoke in parables to reveal things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. One of the things that's still shocking is that 2,000 years later, that the gospel is still incredibly vibrant, the gospel is still in existence, and it's a whole bunch of non-Jews, right? It's a bunch of people called Gentiles. And the spread of the gospel to the Gentiles was unthought of. Was like, what are you talking about? That these Gentiles get to inherit the same thing that we do in Christ. Amen. Isn't that good news? And that's what I believe it's illustrating. But I will tell you, I'll give you this. You know, leaven, it could be, I'm not going to preach this today, but leaven could be that it's sort of similar to the devil planting tares. He could be sprinkling leaven and we become, you know, puffed up, right? And it just permeates and the sin and the evil, right? We saw the 12 spies in Israel. 10 bad spies, 10 good report spies, right? Who did the people listen to? The 10 bad, right? And so it could be that the devil's just trying to drown out the good and pour in, because leaven typically is represents sin in the Bible. That's why the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they removed all the leaven from their homes, because it was the picture of you have to have all the sin removed to be made right with God. The only way is the Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ. And so understand, it could also be, typically in the Bible, birds are bad. Now I know you got the good eagle, the dove, and occasionally the raven. But outside of those, birds are bad, right? And so when the birds come and they get into the branches of the mustard seed, there are some that would say that's the infiltration of the world coming in and trying to influence and disrupt the work of the kingdom. It could be. It could be. But I think both the mustard seed and the leaven represent the glory of God and represent something extremely small. When you think of this, what Jesus started, Acts chapter 1 is still shocking to me. I've mentioned this before. It is unbelievably shocking to me. I'm telling you, the two primary works that Jesus came to do, I mean, all of it was pleasing and doing the will of the Father. But Jesus came to do two primary things. It was to do all that was necessary to be the sacrificial lamb, to die and rise again on the third day. It's called the gospel. Jesus came to accomplish the gospel, without which none of us could be made right with God. He also then came to establish his first church, through which other churches would be established across the world, so that 2,000 years later, we're preaching the same message that they preached 6,000 years ago. And it's glorious and it's wonderful. But this is shocking in Acts chapter 1. How many people were assembled in that church on the day of Pentecost? 120. That, I'm just telling you, Jesus had 3 years to plant that church. Now, maybe it was during vacation time, but I would suggest it wasn't during vacation time because it was the day of Pentecost. The church should have been overflowing, but there were 120 assembled there. And so something that started off small has come all the way over to the Western Hemisphere, and today we're preaching it 2,000 years later. It's amazing. Kingdom work. Let's see what we can learn from this parable this morning. First thing I want you to see this morning is kingdom work must be, first, a priority. It is, Jesus is speaking here. Just turn back to Matthew chapter 6. You're familiar with this. Most of you could quote it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. kingdom work must be a priority. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says this, after dealing with all of our needs, all of our concerns, and they are much, they are many. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, the reason why I say kingdom work must be a priority, because here's the reality. He gives the illustration of a mustard seed. He gives the illustration of leaven. And if you're not careful, you'll ignore both the mustard seed and the leaven. It's the least of all the seeds that they would plant agriculturally and that they would sow. You understand that when the Bible says this, because people want to criticize the Bible and say, there are smaller seeds than the mustard seed. Jesus is talking about mustard seeds that the people knew, seeds that the people knew about that they planted, you know, the grain, the wheat, the barley, the oats that they would plant. And he's saying the mustard seed's the least. It's the smallest. And it grows to be greater than all the herbs. And so it's something super small. Now you got to understand this. If you're one of the apostles, and none of us like to talk this way. I tell you this, I love to talk about the glory and the grandeur and the beauty and the greatness of the kingdom of God. Do we not? But then we Hope Baptist Church. This is God's plan. Each one, reach one, teach one. The kingdom of God. It's made up of people just like you, just like me. But here's the reality. Just like you can kind of discount the mustard seed, and when he's telling the apostles, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, they're like, what? I know. If you have faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. I don't think he had declared that yet. And so I want you to know this, that a mustard seed, I want the kingdom of God is like something grand and glorious, right? Name me the highest mountain. Name me the most glorious thing. It's like the universe. But it's like a mustard seed. A mustard seed you can ignore. Leaven you can ignore. You see, you've got to make it a priority. Here's our reality of life. This is our reality. If you are not very conscious and very specific, and you don't prioritize the things of God, you will 7 days will pass, and I do think it's a good habit. It's good to assemble yourself with God's people. It is important, and it is good. But what have you done for the kingdom of God since last Sunday? In fact, what I'd like to ask, and I need to ask this every night before I go to bed, I think it's a good time for you to close the night, tell the Lord good night, talk to the Lord, examine any sin that I need to confess between the Lord. Is there anything that I need to make right? You know, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And I want to confess my sins, but I also need to review this. What kingdom work have I been involved with today? That's what matters. And I know, you got to go grocery shopping, right? We came home from vacation and there was zero in the fridge. And so Deb spent a lot of her day yesterday going grocery shopping. Sometimes we forget there's only two people, because it's like, how many people we have in this house? But it's so, you got to go grocery shopping. You got to do laundry. I'm so glad. I don't think it rained at all when we were gone. I didn't have to mow the grass when I came back. And so, you know, I sort of took a calculated risk, right? I thought, well, if it rains, you know, I don't worry. It's a season. I'm too cheap. I didn't want to pay anybody to mow my grass. And so, but it didn't grow at all. I'm talking like none. I'll mow it before Saturday just for the fun of it. But here's what happens. You'll get carried away with life. Carried away with things that aren't necessarily sinful. Is it sinful to work for income? No, depending on your motive. Is it sinful to go to the grocery store? No, you need to do that. Is it sinful to take care of your house? No. To do the laundry? No. To do all the things that are necessary to exist in this life. But I want to ask you this. What have you done for the kingdom of God since last Sunday? See, I think we ought to review that every single day. Because if not, we'll ignore that mustard seed. Because you know this? The most important thing we can do is the work of the kingdom. I want you to understand this. Don't dismiss it. You have no idea what your words, what your impact, what your encouragement, what your outreach may do to others. It is kingdom focused. What have you done for the kingdom? The reason why we forget, we get overwhelmed with life. I want you to know this. It's, and you know, kids with school, you know, got homework and all the things with school and with life, and you got to have time to play. I get all that. But if our children are saved, then what are we doing for the kingdom? It has to be a priority. If it's not a priority, we won't do it. It's the greatest thing we can do. Second, we have to be purposeful. Look at this in verse 31. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. What I love is this. I've got to be very conscious. I've got to be very purposeful. We every day after we come back hiking, we kind of had, you know, because it was about 70s, you know, so you're not going to swim in the pool, but we would go to this hot tub, right? Go to this hot tub, and I just figured, well, whoever's at the hot tub, they must need to hear about the gospel. And it didn't always work out, but it did in a number of cases. And you just kind of sit there, and you just kind of figure out, you know, how's this going to... Deb's more aggressive than I am, just so you know. She's out there going, he's a pastor. And I'm like, hey, that was supposed to be stealth here, a little stealth. But we had some good conversations, you know, because I want you to understand this, we've got to be purposeful. Everywhere we go, it's for the kingdom. Go out to eat today. I think going out to eat's great. I want to tell you this, I am convinced waiters and waitresses are just, they're open. Talk to this young man at this pizza place that we were at. And he grew up Jehovah's Witness or Mormon? Hindu, but he had a little bit of Jehovah's Witness in him too, didn't he? Something. But he grew up Hindu, and he had some kind of crazy beliefs. And Deb was able to share it, and then I was kind of the closer, but he took it well. He took it well. I'm convinced we could have had a Bible study. So I was about to extend my vacation just to have a Bible study, but I thought, no, we need to get back. But be purposeful. I want you to understand this. God saved you for a purpose. Are you purposeful? Is it a priority? Are you purposeful? I want us to be a little bit on edge and say, what am I doing for the kingdom of God? And I want you to take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, God, help me. Kingdom work must be a priority. Kingdom work must be purposeful. Kingdom work, remember this, kingdom work, it's powerful. It's powerful. It's the greatest thing we can do. I mean, leaven completely changes the taste, the texture, the fluffiness of bread, the mustard seed that looks insignificant, grows and provides great blessing, not only from the mustard herb that it provides, but for the tree. See, what I think is the birds that come into the tree of the mustard tree, those are the Gentiles that are brought in. You understand that? In the blessing of the kingdom of God is it included us Gentiles. But I want you to know this. The greatest thing you and I can do is to share the gospel, is to do the work of the kingdom of God. Is there anything greater? But is that our focus? So Jesus is saying this. It'll do beyond your greatest and wildest imaginations. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Kingdom work is powerful. If you allow, I'll just go to the next point. Kingdom work permeates. It's way more effective. There's no substitute for yeast. Is there a substitute for yeast? How to make bread rise? Is there some kind of substitute? No substitute. There's no substitute for the gospel, right? It's yeast. You just sprinkle a little bit, include it into the dough, and it does great work. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. One of Paul's great prayers here in Ephesians, he says, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I want you to understand this. God will do exceedingly abundantly above that we were able to ask or think. It's amazing. It's powerful. It permeates. I'm telling you, this young man that we met in talking in the hot tub, right? And I was eavesdropping, right? It was just me and these two guys, right? Waiting on Deb to come down. It was just me and these two guys. And I was eavesdropping, right? And this one guy was talking about he was going to take this other job that he thought was going to be terrible and he was going to make about, you know, $100,000 more. And I don't know. I jumped in. And he talked about he wanted to make sure it was good for his family and good for his wife. And I said, seems like you got your head on straight. I said, I want you to understand. I gave him, you know, perspective. I said, your $100,000 is only going to add about 50 to 60 after taxes. I said, I'm telling you this. Are you willing to sell your soul for $50,000? And I said, this other guy seems to have his head on straight. I said, because he seems to understand that keep life simple. And ultimately, it turned into the gospel. And one guy, he wasn't sure, you know, probably would consider himself an agnostic, but we're able to share. I'm telling you this. Here's all I tried to do with that short time. I did share the gospel. I explained it. Let me tell you, you know what I did, Jacob? I explained why Mary had to be a virgin. When you see people, you ever be witnessing to somebody and you're thinking, I'm losing them. Bring up something that'll catch your attention. Don't you think it's nuts that Mary was a virgin? Yes, I do. And so then I'll explain to them. I'll say, do you have any idea why she had to be a virgin? And all of a sudden, boom, they're interested. And I'll get them back and I'll take it back to the gospel. So, you know, I use the gospel. Here's my one objective. I said, I want you to know this. I said, whether you take that job or not, whether you have your head on straight or not, I said, the question is, how are you going to get rid of your sin? And I said, I want you to read one book of the Bible. I want you to read the Gospel of John. And that's what I left them. The one guy said, I will do that. I don't know if he will, but you know what I believe? I believe kingdom work is powerful. Kingdom work permeates. And I'm telling you this, this guy has no idea that what he's doing is radioactive. When he opens the Bible, it's like, you know? You're afraid of radiation? You know, you would be, right? That's why there are no nuclear power plants anymore, because everybody's afraid of radiation. Way more powerful than a nuclear power plant is the gospel of Christ. Kingdom work. It's powerful beyond your wildest imagination. It permeates beyond your wildest imagination. But one final thing, it is critical. Critical. To be patient. How long does it take for a mustard seed to be planted in the ground and become a 10 to 15 foot tree? I don't know. Couldn't find out. Because it's not usual that they grow to be such a large tree. But years and years. We've talked about fruit before. There's some fruit in Brazil that takes 19 years before it bears its first season of fruit. 19 years. 19 years. I mention these guys all the time. William Carey, Adoniram Judson. For their first 7 years, they go overseas. They don't speak the language. They don't know the culture. They don't have a mentor. They're on their own. William Carey's wife goes nuts. Literally, she loses her mind in the middle of all this. And for the first 7 years, they had zero converts. Zero fruit. No converts at all. But praise the Lord, William Carey, Adoniram Judson, they hung in there. And they kept serving. And they kept knowing this. I want to tell you this, the greatest thing we can do is the work of the kingdom. The most powerful thing we can do is the work of the kingdom. But I will tell you this, it's patience. I love Jacob. Jacob came up to me this morning and he wants to hear the whole story. I'm excited about that, about Abby. And he says, well, is she coming to church here? And I said, well, I don't think so. And she doesn't have to come to church here. But you know what I need to do? Be patient. And love her. I want to tell you this. God taught me a ton through the process. And there was still much for me to learn. I told you this before, I never unconditionally loved my kids. Do this, everything's good. And then Abby never kicked us in the teeth, none of that. She was a kind, lost person to us. And she actually accused me, I think I've told you this before as well. She said, you know the reason why you're being nice to me? Just because you want me to do what you want to do. I said, no, Abby. I'm being nice to you because that's what I should do. And I'll be nice to you no matter what. If I'm thinking right, if I'm doing right. See, God is teaching me that I need to be like Him, and I am so far from Him. But I need to be patient. I don't know who that lost loved one that you've been working on forever, decades. I don't know what work you think where your labor was in vain. I want to tell you this. The Bible tells us that our labor is not in vain. But this long suffering, this thing called patience, this thing called endurance, this thing called forbearing, it's who wants that, right? I got good news for you. I don't have to forbear. I don't have to have patience. I don't have to have long suffering in eternity. Praise the Lord. But right now, I need to endure. Right now, I need to be patient. And you know what? You know when I get discouraged? When I put all the responsibility and the hope in me. It's in the gospel. It's in God. It's in His promises. It's in His love. It's in His care. I want you to understand this. There's nothing greater that you can do than the work of the kingdom of God. But I'll tell you this, let's be patient. I've mentioned Deshaun, and sometimes it's a mistake to mention people's names. I'm dominated by the thought of Deshaun. I've texted him, no response. That's okay. Maybe he's changed his phone number or something. But I want another shot. And I don't know if there's anything we could have done from a tangible perspective differently. Not suggesting that. But maybe there's something I could have done, I could have led, I could have done that would just, I don't know, maybe I need more patience. I know I need more patience, right? There's just no doubt about it. I want you to know this. Don't give up on God's ways. Don't give up on God's plans. Don't stop focusing on the work of the kingdom. The greatest thing you can do, the most important thing you can do, is don't ignore it because it's a mustard seed. Don't ignore it because it's leaven. I want you to know this. The work of the kingdom. 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 Every night you go to bed, I want you to review it. And you know what? There's going to be some nights where you go, I don't know if I did anything for the work of the kingdom. Well, you know what? Then you get in the Word of God. I want you to understand this. You know what will cause you to get in the Word of God when you're doing the work of the kingdom? Because here's the reality. I've met so many Christians. They're not doing any work for the kingdom. And you know what happens? This gets old. You get out there and get in the work of the kingdom, and somebody's going to trip you up because they know their error better than you know your truth. It's going to put you back in this book. Remember your visit? I thought of Jacob, and I couldn't remember her name, Jacob and Crystal. Jacob and Crystal, because I thought of it the other day, because we're going to that blackout season again from door knocking, right? And I thought of Jacob and Crystal last year. You guys, you benefited greatly from that study, did you not? You would have never have done that study if you hadn't been doing the work of the kingdom. And you know what I think? I don't think God's done with Jacob and Crystal. Maybe He's done with our work with Jacob and Crystal. But I'll tell you this, let's be patient. Let's do the work of the kingdom. Let's never forget, it's like a mustard seed. You can't imagine what the impact will be. Final thing, remember when Jesus told the apostles this? It's one of the most ridiculous things He ever said, but everything He said was absolutely true. When He looked at the apostles and He says, greater works will you do than I. And it's like, you know, that's hyperbole. That's exaggeration. It was not exaggeration. I want you to know this. God would delight in taking your purposeful sowing of the Word of God and turning it into a place of refuge, turning it into a place where people can come and lodge, where people can come and receive benefit, where people can come and receive blessing. I want you to know this. Here's the beauty of true Christianity. We know what life's all about. It's about Christ. It's about His kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Let's trust the Lord for His work, His kingdom. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for just, I want renewed vigor, renewed energy, renewed passion, renewed focus, renewed effort, renewed submission, renewed prayer, renewed hope. Father, and it all comes from You. Your word is good. Father, that last point, patience, patience, patience. Oh, it's lack of faith.